again. God, you're with us. We're so grateful. So thankful that you came out of heaven to save us, that you want to know us, you want to be with us, you want us to be with you. We're thankful for Cornerstone Church, Lake Country. We're thankful for the leadership here, for the faithful years of serving you and serving this community, pouring out their hearts, their lives, their all they are for your glory. And we pray, God, that today you would encounter our hearts afresh and just keep us stirred up. Keep us full of your desires, full of the reality of heaven. And I pray the testimonies of what you're doing in Haiti, what you have been doing, and your vision through us for the future would encourage and stir up faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So those of you who don't know us, we say hello. Bonjour. I'm Jesse, my wonderful wife Kirsten of 7 years, and our 4 children are in the basement. Praise God. we have Joseph is 6, Benjamin's 4, Seth is just turned 3, and Felicity's almost 1. So 3 boys, and our last one's a girl. We love them so much, and have been, a lot. That is not the point.
Parenting is the hardest thing we've ever done in our life.
Yes, we salute you. You guys are amazing. So we are going to give you an overview of what our ministry is, what Cornerstone Haiti is, and then we will kind of backtrack and share some testimonies of how God got us to where we are, and then talk about how you can be involved, partner with us, and then we'll take some questions if we have time afterwards. So we'll see. And Kirsten will give us our overview.
Yes, so we reincorporated like a year and a half ago, and so we are Cornerstone Haiti. And our 3 main vision, I say this wrong every time, our points of vision are whatever. Anyway, developing Christ. This is why we sit down. We are not speakers. It's more like we're in a living room family chat. Anyway, okay. So developing Christ-centered community, educating generational leaders, and cultivating economic growth. Those are 3 main things in our community of Gaucheval. So as far as developing Christ-centered community, that is not something that you can ever check off your list. That is like your whole life, being with people in their life, them being in yours. And that has been, man, so challenging and so good and so humbling. So we've been there. October, it will have been 7 years since we moved there. And like through those 7 years, there has been so much deconstruction in our hearts and minds of what it is to follow Jesus in a different culture. What is the kingdom of America? What is the kingdom of Haiti? And finding the kingdom of God in the midst of those two. We're not there to create America. Because, like, don't know if you know this, but America does not equal the kingdom of God. Newsflash. And Haiti does not equal the kingdom of God. There's nothing like, yeah, anyway. So that has been hard, like so hard, but so good, of really just like, okay, God, yeah, humble us. Like, we are the most educated out of our community, but we're not, you know? Like, we have to be humble and teachable. And so that's been this beautiful journey of refinement and learning. And, you know, we went in this attitude of like, we're going to save everybody and do all this stuff. And then it's like, oh man, we're just these like white Americans coming in, and we have the most learning to do at this point. So we've been developing relationship, and it's been messy and so good. And we're excited to, yeah, live out that covenant relationship in our community. Another part of that, obviously, is the way, sorry, I'm shaking. I'm like a little nervous, guys, but it's okay. Is us living out our marriage before our community and being authentic and vulnerable, that the same way we are in the home, I mean, that's for our kids too. We want them to see us the same in our home and in our community and just be real. Oh, it's just fake. I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, we need to be real. Say when you're having a hard time. Say when things aren't perfect. Like, God knows. Tell him. Tell other people. That's what being in each other's life is about. Like walking with us, like walking with each other and always towards Jesus and what he says, what he walked out when he was on the earth. That is our goal. That is our vision. So, and then doing family in front of everybody, and that's been really cool just to see the different things we have been able to live out in our community and the questions we've gotten and the changes that we've seen. So, yeah, developing Christ-centered community. And then cultivating or educating generational leaders. So that is through our Cornerstone School of Truth. We have 66 students, 11 full-time staff, two half like part-time staff. And our goal, we have three levels of preschool, kindergarten, first grade, and this year, second grade. So our dream with that is that each year we add a grade, and these kiddos get, you know, two meals a day. They are surrounded by a team of teachers that we get to disciple. That's really where our discipleship is with our team of teachers and cooks and all of that. And they get to be in a safe environment where they can trust the adults in their life, where they are not scared to be harmed or violated in any way. The preschoolers get to take naps, and it's just so beautiful to see all these kiddos come in. And there is opportunity for education at other schools, but not the quality of education that they're getting in our school. Most schools in Haiti are like one room, four grades, one teacher trying to teach 50 plus kids different lessons. It's all a lot of memorization. And it's taught in French. Their main language is Creole. So there's just a lot of broken parts of Haitian culture and the way things have gone. And so we're very excited to be raising up our teachers and our team to love these kiddos and to sow into them their identity in Christ. And that they, oh man, I miss them so much. Oh gosh. Yeah, to sow into them that they can be anything that God's created them to be. Like, that's what we, like, it's such a normal thing for us to be like, well, yeah, I'm going to encourage my kids. Like, of course they can be whoever God's created them to be. But in Haiti, that's just not how they view children. And, yeah, so being able to see, like, our teachers start realizing, like, oh, yeah, like, all of our kiddos, thanks. Like, all of our kiddos, like, have, you know, souls, have emotions, have thoughts and ideas. And so then, and, like, establishing an environment in the classroom where their ideas are heard and their little hearts are stewarded to love God and not just rules. Not just like, yeah, I'll love you if you obey these things. But like, I will love you when you steal from us. And teach you not to, of course. But that it's not based on what they do. But it's like, no, who you are. Like, that's who we're loving. And yeah, it's just amazing. We love our kiddos. Do you want to talk about cultivating?
Our third vision that God gave us is cultivating economic growth. Our main source of that right now is providing the 11 full-time jobs, and a consistent monthly salary is like the lottery in Haiti. As far as poverty goes, they're the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. An average of $1 to $2 a day is what a family lives on. So we pay our teachers comparatively well to teachers in like Port-au-Prince and the big cities. And so for them to get a monthly salary is life-changing. Can you imagine a home, like being homeless and then all of a sudden someone's like, here, I'm going to start giving you a monthly salary and here's a place for you to stay. And it like, that is a little bit of a glimpse of what the people who have joined our team are receiving. And for them, because they're so relational in their community and their culture, the one teacher who's getting a monthly salary is really affecting at least 10 families surrounding them. Because whenever they're a neighbor's walking through their yard and they smell something cooking, they're going to hang out and wait for a dish to come out. And the people who have anything, like, they are immediately prepared to share, split their food in half. The past month has been drought for Haiti, huge drought. Like, rain supposed to usually starts falling in April, and almost all the way to the end of May, they've had none now. But Sonit, I've been talking with her, and our first grade teacher, daughter of Pastor Marcus, strong woman of faith in the church, and she was saying, like, we're climbing down in our basins, like, scooping down the last drops, and we get one cup out of there, and I'm sharing my cup of water with my neighbor. And it's like, we're just on our last legs here. We've been able to send some money for water trucks to come up. There's no wells. We're over 5,000 feet in the mountains and super far from ground water anywhere. So we've had some water trucks deliver, fill up our water basin, and share that water with the community, which has been super helpful. Just yesterday or 2 days ago, there was a little bit of clouds coming and a tiny rain fell. So hopefully this week we are hearing our prayers answered and they get the rain they need. But all that to say, the economic growth is a very slow slow process, and in our American worldview, it's like almost nothing. But when you look at a position of a Haitian family who begins to receive a monthly salary and then is able to slowly upgrade their house and build their own water cistern and have a little bit extra water during dry season, all of which gets shared with the desperately poor of the community, it's like the fruit is continual.
So our dream with the cultivating economic growth is that through Cornerstone Haiti, we would provide at least 100 jobs within our community. So that's, through the school, but then also we are experimenting with honey production, coffee production, new techniques in farming, and chickens and eggs. And so kind of starting to, create small businesses. And we've done a lot of experimenting, and it's been really cool just to see, like, the potential for all of those things. And then with school as well, so our vision right now is to go up to sixth grade, and then from there do a split off of tracks. So it's like, if we see that, yes, this kid really should go to higher education. They have the mind for it, the desire to become, a business person, a doctor, a nurse, just all of those things, and we will, support them in that. And then also a trade school, so mechanic, carpentry, electrical, plumbing, all that kind of thing. And it's been cool, we've only been there, 7 years, so everything's just so small. But Jesse has been able to really mentor these two now young men. Woodsy is 16 and Citoyen is 14 or 15. But we built a garage, a new tool shed, which was so awesome. All of Jesse's tools went there and are now out of our house, and it is happy. But now they almost built the roof of that building. Like, Jesse was just like, all right, cut these things, okay, do this. He helped significantly in making everything square, because that's a whole thing. But it's but it's amazing just to see them develop and just like talk with them about, hey, when you get skilled at this, Jesse's going to be able to, he paid them for the work they do, obviously, but it's like, you'll be able to just do all of these projects. You'll be able to maintain our school campus and have a solid job for the rest of your life. And just to see that kind of thing multiplied, because that's what it is. Like, we are, it's just so awesome. Just to see the multiplication of your life, and not just in our four amazing little kids and our kids, but like in our school kids too, and in our team. Like, they are doing the everyday teaching of our students and kiddos. But so our three things: developing Christ-centered community, educating generational leaders to see the nation of Haiti changed and the kingdom of God to come. Like, we want to see these kiddos in every sphere of Haitian culture. Government, media, education, the church. Oh, the church needs Jesus in Haiti, let me tell you. But like, that they would go there as ambassadors of the kingdom of God to change the nation. Like, from Haiti being the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere to do a 180, to be the wealthiest, and not just in money, but in ideas. Like, that they would, instead of, oh man, there's so many mission groups, so much just giving away of stuff, which that could be a whole other talk on its own. Like, okay, just pause for a second. Really think if what you're doing is helping somebody or if you're hurting them. Because Haiti's rice production industry was totally ruined by free rice coming in. Why would you pay for rice if you can get it for free? It used to not be their everyday meal. They would eat other things, but now, well, there's just free rice from the United States. Like, why would we pay? Anyway, so just really think about it. Pray about it. Like, God, is this actually helping somebody or hurting them? Or should I get a little messy and actually be in their life? It's easy to give things away. It's hard to walk with someone in their mess. But Jesus does that. He walks with us in our mess. Praise God. So there's that. And, yeah, and then cultivating economic growth. So those are our three visions and points of vision. Oh, my gosh. Whatever. And yeah, we love it. And we, yeah, Jesse will share some other stuff.
God is faithful, and like, we have been so honored and so just thankful to have seen his faithfulness throughout our walk with him, and we get to see it in a different way than most people do as missionaries. Like, there's so many different sources of provision, there's so many different sources of encouragement and wisdom, and just people telling you the things you need to hear at the right time, at the right place, ideas and all that stuff. Like, God is really, really amazing and really good at it. And so it's really important for all of us to step out in faith when he asks us to, because you don't know how the chain reaction of history is going to be affected, because God is doing his best to orchestrate the kingdom of God coming to earth. And he, man, it's just so awesome that he has decided to partner with each of us. Like, he obviously could come and be like, hey, this is how it's going to be, and it's all great and perfect, and I did it. But he gets, I think it's pleasurable for him. I think he has lots of fun, like, challenging us and watching his children say yes to him and being disappointed and full of heartache when his children say no. And through our lives, we've been the real kind of Christians for 10 years or so, you know, repentant, like, wanting to actually live for God, not just by name and thinking that we're forgiven so we get to go to heaven. And so there's so much that he's just proven himself over and over. For us heading to Haiti, like, him forming Christ in us, before we knew we were going to be missionaries in Haiti, through so many things, primarily, I would say, Cornerstone Church in Milwaukee, the planting of that church, Michael and Jake discipling us and challenging us to get out of our comfort zones and, like, really dig into church history and what should our normal Christian life look like, was life-changing and really foundational. And then, like, the vision for missions and the trips. I was able to take 10 week-long trips to Haiti over the span of 3 years and, like, had no money. So that's a miracle because airfare is expensive. Like, but God provided it all. And at the same time as all that, as he was, like, preparing Kirsten and I for not only for ministry but for each other, like, we didn't know we were going to be married. Well, Kirsten was hoping for quite a while. I didn't know. I had no idea. But then he's just like, yeah, you're going to marry her. And it was within, like, a short span of time, like 2 days, I proposed. And then we got married 5 months later. And we're like, okay, what day are we moving to Haiti? because prior to that, we were both planning on moving there as singles. And all the while that's happening here, like God's doing all this stuff in us, preparing us to go, at the same time, there's this church up on a hill, like no one knows about it, except for like the community of a couple hundred people who are praying, who are like seeking God the best they can and crying out for help. Like they are in a tattered, hurricane-destroyed building with rocks and sand walls, like just a tiny bit of cement is all you need for something to stand up. And then when the winds come, it falls over sometimes. like tin roof that gets blown away and tarps that are leaking when it is rainy season. And you can't, like everyone's huddled together under the tarp trying to worship God. And then Jean-Westner Jolimo, a Haitian pastor, brought us up on one of our trips and introduced our team to several, lots of pastors in the area, but Pastor Marcus specifically in Gaucheval was who God chose for us to really connect with. And Marcus always, I don't know how many times he's told this story, but before we ever came up, before any white people came to that area, he had a dream of 20-some people showing up, and two of them wanted to come move and live in the midst of their church. And he had, so they had the church land and then a small portion behind it. And he's like, God, this land is going to be for whoever these people are that are coming. And so the first time we showed up there, he's like, well, here they are. This is amazing. Who in this group are going to be living with us? Yeah, that was before our relationship at all, and so we didn't know. But it's like God orchestrating in his sovereignty so much that we have no clue about. All we know is just our little part, our little, the small voice of God saying, here, go do this, like, go do that, and he's just making such a huge impact in the world with all of our little parts coming together. So then we moved to Haiti October 13th. No, October some 23rd, two, but 2013. And we spent a few weeks, in Port-au-Prince trying to gather a couple supplies. We had no idea about anything. It was a mess. And then, it was adventure.
4 months pregnant.
Yeah, we had no kids, so you could do anything. We packed a tent. We're like, maybe we'll be in a tent for a while. We can do that. He drove us up the mountain. And there's many mountains, but our mountain is the mountain. And then we moved in with a family that was in the church, Emilio and Mariani. Emilio knew some English. He had God obviously preparing him to receive us. He's the only one in the community who knew a little bit of English. But it was enough for us to feel welcomed, enough for us to say, hey, we need some food, like where do we go to the market, how do we do everything? their house is like 20 by 20 feet, and it's quartered, split into four. They have a porch is one quarter, and then they have three rooms, and they gave us two of their three rooms for us to live in, and they moved. They had one son at the time, Kev, and he was two, I think. So they moved into one room, and we lived in their two rooms for about 6 months while we spent a little bit of time trying to figure out where we were going to be. But then, Pastor Marcus had that plot of land. God directed us there, and we started digging our water cistern for our house. That family, like Emilio's friendship for many years, really was, I think, what sustained us practically. Like, we totally could have just went crazy, and because we were very cut off, like no internet, barely any phone service, and at that time, like, the churches here kind of had a lot of other things happening going on at the same time, so the teams coming over really decreased, and we were just trying to hear from God, and like, what are we doing? We didn't have like a 5-year plan laid out of here's the steps of what our mission is going to look like. We had ideas in our head, but really, like, we just dove into relationship, figuring out life, trying to learn the language, and doing Bible studies, pastor training. Like, that was the main thing on our heart, was to build up and equip the church. And then a couple years into that, it was like, we are just running straight into a brick wall, like, every day here. Nothing's changing in anyone's heart. And we were crying out to God, like, what are we supposed to be doing? And then he led us to begin a school. So just like Kirsten was talking about, like, really thinking about, are you helping someone? Are you hurting? We were introduced to a lot of just, yeah, that kind of thinking of missions and what really is the long-term fruit of what missions are doing. And so we kind of turned from, I mean, we didn't have, like, baskets of money, and we weren't doing, like, massive projects or anything. But we built a couple water cisterns and someone's house, and we really turned from that to the investing in the next generation, the beginning to think, how do we actually provide jobs for people and not just hand out stuff over and over? So that was, like, really formational for where we are today. And it's still changing. Like, we are learning so much and have a lot to go yet. But for the school, prior to us knowing we were going to start a school, God provided this amazing new church building through amazing, miraculous relationship, supporter people who are like, yeah, I think God's telling me to raise money for a new church building, and I'll put together the team and we'll just come down there. And I'm like, okay, this is great. We've been praying for a building. Thank you, Jesus. And so 13 people came. They raised about like $15,000, and we built a whole new building around, or we had the Haitian community build the block walls, and then the team came and built the roof. And it was just like that building. Oh, okay. So that building is, it's like, it's actually similar to this size building, which is huge for a Haitian church up in our area. Jim was his name, was our supporter who put this all together. And the verse that he brought for us was in Isaiah, like, enlarge the stakes of your tent. Like, God has more for you. There's more coming. And so that church was in place, and then God started changing our vision, our ideas about school. And then that church building became preschool for three classes for our first 24 students that we took on. So we put up like tarps as separators, and we have three classes in there. But he's just like so far ahead of us in all of our thinking of what our missionary life would be, and just proving his faithfulness over and over. Like, the main thing God's asking for us is just a yes in our heart. And he has all the great ideas. He's full of wisdom. Like, he gets the glory. And he will prove himself faithful in your life when you say, yes, God, I will obey you. Whatever it takes, like whatever amount of money I'm supposed to take out of my retirement, or whatever part of my house I'm supposed to sacrifice for someone who needs it, or whatever it is, like, just be willing to say yes, God. Because there are eternal implications, not only for us as we, like, look to the judgment seat of Christ, but more importantly, for those who don't know him yet to experience the goodness of God through us. And once this life's over, there's no more of that. There's no more people who don't know him around us. And, like, that is what keeps us going. Like, every day, what can we do today, God? Are we doing what you've told us to do? Help us be faithful, and just let Holy Spirit put it together and create his beautiful history. As we started school, then the question is like, okay, how do we provide for, or how is God going to provide for school? So there's lots of ministries like World Vision that are doing huge child sponsorship programs, several of those kind of things happening in Haiti. So we're like, okay, that would make sense if we do child sponsorship in our school. And so we began sharing our ideas and our hopes for what school would be. And we call our child sponsors godparents. It's Godparents are a very cultural Haitian culture thing. Like, there's godparents for when you're born. There's godparents for when you're 2 years old and you're presented in the church. There's godparents for when you graduate school. Godparents for your wedding. And it's just like a binding together of community. And so for us, we wanted to do our best at connecting those who are sending the finances to make school possible for these kids. And so we call them godparents. They're their American godparents, and the kids understand that. Like, oh, wow, this person cares about me, and they're praying for me. And as we put these ideas out there, it was just every need was met, like surprisingly, but not surprisingly, because it was all God's idea. And so we started, like I said, with 24 kids. We had, God put in our path in Haiti an amazing couple who'd been missionaries, I think, for about 10 years, and they've been running a preschool for 6 years in Port-au-Prince. And they've been such a blessing. Like, when we would go into town to go get supplies and stuff, we were always welcome to stay at their place. We didn't have to pay for a hotel. And just seeing them run their preschool and the fruit that it was producing in the kids, like, you could just see these kids full of life, full of joy, excited to learn. And most kids you encounter on the street or when you're just talking with strangers and stuff are so downtrodden and weak and, like, hopeless. And, man, it's just so powerful to see the difference of love in the children's life. And not to say that you need an expensive school to do that, because you can tell the difference from a kid who's not going to school but who has parents who love them and is doing are doing their best to raise them. You just don't see that. Like Kirsten was saying, it's normal for us to have a baby and we coddle them and we speak to them and we're excited and we have happy faces. And in Haiti, it's like another mouth to feed that I don't know if I'm going to have enough water or food for this kid when he grows up. And it's just like the burden on a mother's heart who already has six kids, and they're like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, life is so hard. And so the kid grows up with that emotion and just, atmosphere around them. And, to see the difference of God's love in these kids' eyes is just worth it all. Like, anything we can sacrifice, we want to pour it out for them. And the sacrifice is just worth it because Jesus did it all. Like, if you can remember and if you acknowledge and reflect on the darkness of your heart before you knew Jesus, it's so glorious for us to be able to mirror that sacrifice. And Jesus saw us as hopeless without him, lost sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on us, and he's full of mercy, and he paid the highest price. And I just, Jesus in the garden, he's like, are you sure, Father, this, I have to do this? There's no other way. But if it's the only way, I'm all in. Like, there's no turning back. And I think God is faithful, and he wants us to learn the glory and the joy of being faithful to him for the good of others. There's no other satisfaction. There's nothing else that can fill the need inside of us for love, not just for us to be loved, but if all we're doing is receiving God's love and being blessed and experiencing revival in our own selves, but never sacrificing for others, we're missing out half of the joy of the kingdom of heaven. Like, yes, the good news of the gospel is that he died for you, and now you are filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can experience the joy that should be set before you to see the lost come to Christ, to see others, the darkness light up in your midst. And it's not an everyday occurrence. Like, a lot of times we share testimonies and the faithfulness of God and like 7 years of ministry, and it's easy to think, wow, like, missionary life is amazing and full of goodness and joy, but man, it's full of darkness and loneliness and like separation from culture, and we miss like so much of of our American culture that we're used to, we miss our relationships. It's hard to be close to people through internet that fails most of the time. And it's really hard to be close to people who have no idea what you're talking about when you're talking about emotions or difficulties. And like the Haitians around us, we have really good friends, but their way of friendship is so different from how we understand friendship. But it's worth it. Like, we would not trade the sacrifice for anything. We come back here and yes, like, amazing, we can eat all the cheese we want, and and usually there's like lots of places our kids can go. It's been real sad that parks and stuff have been closed, but praise God, things are starting to change. Yeah, we come back here and it's like we experience it for a short season, but like Kirsten's up here crying like we miss our community. And because that's where life is for us. That's where God's called us. So that is the fullness of God's kingdom in us, where he's called us to be. And for you as a church here in Oconomowoc, like, continually ask yourself, what is my place? What is my place in the kingdom of heaven? And where, like, if there's joy missing, if there's the unrest or the complacency, like, just ask and he'll show you. He's so faithful. And then when he shows you, don't be like, oh God, can it be something else? Like, just say yes. It's so easy. So easy. Yeah. I will finish my talk and then ask if you guys have any questions with just if you feel like you want to be more connected to us. We have cornerstonehaiti.org is our website. Lots of information on there. If you are moved to become a godparent, we will have a new year of school starting some point. We have to finish the one that's been shut down here, and we'll figure that out as God shows us. But every year we're taking on 12 new students. So we need 12 new godparents and possibly more, because we ask godparents to commit for a one-year commitment. And so some who have supported this year may not be able to continue. So I'd love for you guys to pray about that opportunity. The sponsorship is $50 a month, or you can give, if you want to do 300, four times, you know, $600 for the year is what it costs us. To pay our staff salaries, to give them two great meals a day, and have water for the families during dry season. Normally dry season will be like January, February, and once community basins are all emptied, then we open our school basin for our student families to come get water weekly. And the last 4 years, it's always been enough. And so this year, drought is extra long and hard. We also are hoping to, by the end of this year, be able to build a bigger community cistern, because there is plenty of rain throughout the year. Every year there's plenty of rainfall. Just not enough people with roofs, with gutters, and with basins to collect that water. So we want to keep increasing that. Pray with us for our school. Our biggest need is to increase our administration. We need to hire more staff to organize things and keep things running smoothly. All that has been my job the last 4 years, and it's not where I'm like super gifted in that. I'm just doing it because it needs to be done, and this is how we've started. But I know God has people that will excel at these things and will be a huge blessing for our school, so pray that we find those people and can hire them. And yeah, if anyone has questions, Jake said we can go till noon or quarter after if no one's falling asleep. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it was, so for my first trip to Haiti, it was a very divine setup. I was in college at UW-Milwaukee, and I had a trip planned for the spring of 2010. I was going to Louisiana for Habitat for Humanity. And then our church announced that we were going to do a spring break trip to Haiti. And I was like, dang it, I'm already signed up for this other thing. And so God asked me to give an offering to the team. So I wrote a check, put in the offering, wrote Haiti in the memo. And then it was a week before the trip that Michael came up to me. He's like, hey, you're coming on the trip, right? Like, there's more money to pay. He thought my offering was a down payment for the mission trip cost. And I had continued to want to be going and was like bummed that I couldn't go. And he's like, I bought you a plane ticket, and it's non-refundable, non-transferable. You're coming with us. And so that was like God saying, yeah, I want you to go too. So someone else was able to take my spot on the other trip. And my dad had recently passed away, so I had a little bit of money available to pay the rest of the trip cost. And was like, okay, God, just put me on this plane. And so during that week, I was doing my best to hear, like, what are you saying? Why am I here specifically? And it was during that week that I really felt God saying, you're going to be a full-time missionary in Haiti. And so that was the start of preparing. I took 3 more years before we moved. In the midst of that, Kirsten joined on some of our week-long trips. Do you want to share the 1 week?
It was a song that was, Jésus la Cunha, which means Jesus is here now. And so it sounded like they were singing his last name. For me, like my entire life, like I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, and I had always loved like the idea of mission. So that was kind of in my heart ever since I was a little girl, of being a missionary. And then as like I really met Jesus and my life was turned over fully to him, it was like, oh, it's not so that I can have an adventure. It's like for you and your kingdom. And then for me, like after I graduated from college, from nursing school, it was like, all right, so where and when? Those are my two prayers. Where and when, God? And so I thought, you know, like I'll just work really hard, pay off my student loans, and then he'll show me. But by God's, you know, sovereignty, I moved up to Wisconsin with my oldest brother and found Cornerstone Milwaukee and went on a mission trip to Haiti. I'd been there once during college, and my sister remembers me saying, I know I'll go back there. I don't remember saying that, but it was such an awesome confirmation when I did feel like Haiti was my place. When she said that, it was like, oh, that's awesome. All right, I'll take that as good confirmation. Went on a trip with Cornerstone Milwaukee, and as Michael was just kind of casting this vision, it was like my heart, it like exploded on the inside of me, and it was just this knowing, like, this is it, like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And then went back to the United States. God gave me several different dreams, and then I talked with people who knew me really well, and they were all just like, yeah, that makes total sense. So, hearing from God personally, but then also wise counsel. Talk to people who know you. Talk to people, like, that you see really following God and aren't concerned about safety because, and don't, and really know that your heart is to follow Jesus, because you could go to a lot of people, and a lot of people would and did say that what we were doing was very foolish. And, like, why would God send you there? Can you take her? Thanks. Seth, no. It is. It's like Asian church. There's that little crumb. So that was that. Yeah, everyone plug in your cell phones. So that was for me. Confirmation. We just started moving in that direction of like, all right, I think this is what God's saying. So we're going to take these steps, and then confirmation after confirmation. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I have a nursing degree, we tried to do a lot of like mobile clinics, and then Jesse was trying to do a lot of yeah, like church meetings and that kind of thing. And for me, and being pregnant a lot of the time and having newborns a lot of the time, it just wasn't practical. And it was like my focus needs to be on our kids and supporting Jesse and what he's doing. There's a lot of things in my heart still as our kids get older, in like midwifery, women's health, that kind of thing. No, you can go on that ship. Yeah, and then Jesse in his teaching, it would be like, all right, let's go over what salvation is. Like, it's not your works. It's Jesus' work on the cross. And, you know, just go over that time and time again and then be like, okay, so what is salvation? Well, you do these things and you don't do these things, and then you'll go to heaven. And so it was just like, oh, man. And so with that, it was like we came to the point after like 2 years, we're like, God, why are we here? What is the point? Like, if we just... no one really wants to listen to us. They just think we have money and they want money. We don't have money, you know. And then he showed us this school. So. Do you have anything to say? Are you gonna fog?
You just have to go. So the question would be, where should you go? And to start, it's right here. So if you're interested, if you think God's calling you to missions, like, are you reaching some people around you? Are you a light? Are you serving your neighbor? Are you bold in declaring the truth to the people at the grocery store and at your workplace and in your school? I feel like us growing up both kind of thought the same, and many people. Like, when you think about becoming a missionary, many people think of, like, Africa or the poorest places in the world, seclusion and that kind of stuff. And then when you think that way, it's like, oh, that would be easy because I don't know those people and they need a lot from me. But really, the heart of a missionary is, like I was talking about, just laying your life down in sacrifice and servitude to the people around you. And Kirsa was mentioning, like, get involved in people's lives where it's difficult and where it's hard. Be a listening ear to someone who needs counsel and needs wisdom. Like, that is missions. That's the heart of missions. It doesn't matter if you fly to a different country or not. And like I was saying, for us, because God has called us there, that's like the best thing for us to be doing. Many of you, God's called you here. Like Acts 17, he has decided when you would be born and where you would live, and therefore your mission is here. If you have that burning desire to go, the first question is, have you reached Judea or Jerusalem? As Jesus commanded the disciples, like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. So yeah, are you being faithful with what God's given you now, I think, is another way to say the same thing. Are you saying yes to the still small voice, or are you just waiting for the big sign in the sky to say, this is what you're supposed to be doing? Because most of the time that doesn't show up. He's just waiting for you to make a choice, and then he'll reveal the details along the way.
Yeah, in college... living with people, roommates. I had some roommates that were making pretty bad choices. I know. And I was just like, God, please just send me somewhere. Like, this is so hard. And I just heard God so clearly, like, what makes you think that you're going to love someone in a different culture who speaks a different language than you? What makes you think you're going to love them when you can't even really love your roommate? And it was just like this dagger to the heart and like this humbling, like, yeah, okay, I don't know. I don't know how to love people well. Teach me how to do that. And, yeah, so just like what Jesse's saying, like, love the people around you. Get to know your neighbor. Like, the gospel is loving God, loving your neighbor. That is the simplest thing. And love your children. Just love them. Yeah.
Do you guys want to come up? And we want to pray for you.
Yeah.
Right. Brian's here, right?
Yeah.